your ways are higher than our own. And we will follow after you wholeheartedly, and we will see the enemy run, and we will be victorious. Lord, your word is so kind. May it be the foundation, standard, may it be a light to our path. Father, this morning I pray that our ears, the eyes of our hearts will be open to listen carefully to the word, to apply it to our lives, Lord.
This can be the consequence of of living our lives according to Satan's agenda and not God's. But even more so for someone who is possessed by a demon. Society had no answer for this man, as we see here. There was no way to help him in his desperate situation, even with all the great scientific advancements that we have today. Society still has no power to address the issues caused by sin and by Satan. They have no power to address these issues. The issues caused by sin and Satan. Society is for normal, try to contain him. They try to restrain him. They try to keep him away from everyone else. Yet none of this helped this man in this spiritual life. All they could do was deal with his outward actions. They could not deal with the root issue. They could not bring about restoration in his life. Even the restraints could not hold him any longer, for the demons are given power to break these chains in his life. What's going on? We need a reminder of who we're dealing with. Jesus said, Satan the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. But he has come, Jesus comes to give us life. We may have it abundantly. John 10:10. He also stated in John 8:24 that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Satan's agenda is, and always has been, to bring about the destruction of our lives. This is exactly what we see going on in this story today. 1 Peter 5 also states that out of adversary, our enemy, our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He wants this man to take his own life. He wants to face and destroy this human being who's been created in the image of God. Somewhere along the line, this man gave himself over to sinful activity, and it led him to be possessed by his demons. We don't know exactly how that happened in this man's life, but this is his state right now. Demon possession is not a popular topic that we want to talk about in our culture. But we see the effects of sin and Satan's agenda all around us. It's very clear, it's very evident. Deceivings. We might use different terms, like different things to explain different things going on, but we see the effects of this all around us. One of the things that we learn from this story is that Satan and his demons are real. They exist. They seek to bring harm on all of God's creation. I've seen people in this state before, in this state of demon possession, I've seen it with my own eyes. The destructive agenda of Satan to destroy people's lives. I've seen demon possessed people cutting themselves. I've actually seen this happen. I've seen them exhibit all sorts of destructive behavior, but I've also seen Jesus deliver people from this state of demon possession and bring about total restoration. Don't be deceived into thinking that Satan and his demons don't play a part in today's society and culture. Don't be deceived. Satan has been working behind the scenes in our world with a strategy that tempts us in the most subtle ways, but also tempts us in the most extreme ways, even redefining what is right and wrong. Tempting us to doubt God's word as he did in the kingdom of Eve, like Adam and Eve in the garden. Or tempting us with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life as he did with Eve in the desert. Still doing the same things, even today, all around us. But don't be deceived into thinking that you can somehow fight this battle in your own strength. Something that this man in the story maybe thought at some point in his life until he was overpowered by his demons. Something you may think. We're overpowered by temptation. We fall into sin. There's only one who has power over the enemy. Therefore, there's only one who can give us victory and power over the enemy. Also, don't be deceived into thinking that demons can possess God's children. Satan can use external things to tempt God's children. He can get a foothold into our lives, the lives of people, and who cultivate sinful practices. But since God's children are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, Satan has no power to come into them and possess them and control them. And he can use other things outside of our lives to bring temptation and stuff like that. We cannot possess God's children. This only happens to those who do not know Christ. They are not God's children, therefore they are not indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. Let's see how Jesus handles this situation here
in these next verses. Here we see the power and authority that Jesus has over demons. Look there at verses 16 and 13. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs, and a herd numbering about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now there are several things that we learn here with Jesus' interaction with demons. First, we see Jesus' power over these demons. In fact, they came kneeling before him, acknowledging who he truly was. These demons believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They recognized Jesus' authority as God and his power to destroy them by sending them into the abyss. The abyss was a temporary kind of a holding station for them until the final destruction in hell. And so James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Even the demons believe in God. Yet this kind of belief, even though they fear God, will not save you. In fact, I would say there are many religious people today that don't believe as much as these demons. We also see that this man is still in control by many demons. The word demon here in the Roman understanding is somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 souls. But it could be that he's just using that term as a reference for a large number of demons. Either way, one of these demons speaks for the rest, and he asks Jesus to go easy on him. This also reveals that these demons did not know what Jesus was planning to do. And this is important for us to know. You see, Satan can only know God's plans if he reveals it to him. There is no evidence in Scripture that Satan can read the mind of a believer. Satan can use external temptations, subliminal messages in our culture to influence our mind if we do not read the mind. So why would Jesus do anything but destroy these demons? And he has the power to send these demons wherever he wants to. You see, Jesus knows that in the Father's timing, he will bring total destruction on Satan and his demons. Jesus, being led by the Father, is more concerned about delivering this man who was created in God's image, a man like all of us, who has absolutely no power to save himself. Just like us. He has absolutely no power to save himself. Therefore, he gives these demons permission to enter the pigs. And it's at this moment that Satan's agenda becomes clear. Jesus gave the permission to enter the pigs, but it is the demons who destroy the life of these pigs. Satan's agenda is to bring destruction on all that God has created. Satan was trying to destroy this man's life. Cutting himself to stone. He wants him to take his life. But Jesus came here to deliver him. Jesus only had to give a word, and his demons were forced to leave this man. That's real authority and power of the Lord God. By sending him into the pigs, it also gives proof to those around him watching that this man was truly delivered. The destruction of the pigs gave proof to this man. The man who had been formerly possessed, that the demons would come. When Jesus took our place on the cross, when he paid the full price for our punishment by shedding his blood, he opened the door for us to be forgiven of sin, to be restored in a relationship with God. When he rose from the grave, 3 days later, he destroyed the curse of sin and death, and he defeated Satan's plans forever. Hebrews 2:14 states, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself," that's Jesus, "he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Through his death and resurrection, he conquered Satan and freed us from the power of sin, the power of temptation, and even the power of death."
Jesus has all authority and power in heaven and earth, and he desires to bring about restoration in the lives of people, giving us a new purpose for life. Let's look at the restoration and transformation that Jesus brings into this man's life. Look there at verses 14 through 17. The herdsmen fled and told them in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and they saw the demon of this man, the one who had a legion sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon of this man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Can you imagine for a minute what these herdsmen, the guys who were herding these pigs, what they were thinking when they saw all this? And their whole herd of hogs were dead. And I'm sure they made haste, as it said, to go tell their owners about what had happened, so they could come and see for themselves. They didn't want to take responsibility for leading these pigs over the edge of this cliff as you can see. And so when they returned, the people saw this man who had been demon-possessed sitting there in his right mind. He's clothed. He's acting like a normal man. They were afraid. Who is this who has power over demons? Who has the power to bring about restoration in this man's life? The evidence is clear. This man had been made whole. The destructive force of the demon took those pigs to their death. Why would they ask Jesus to leave? Why not have him stay and restore the lives of others? Well, they probably not only feared what they didn't understand, most likely they feared that Jesus stayed any longer they would lose more money. Their economy would take a greater hit. What an opportunity. Money was more important than the healing and salvation of their own souls. Like the rich man. Could give it all up. How often do people make the same choice in our life? Can you imagine what this man, the man who's been delivered from these demons, can you imagine what he's thinking? A man who was formerly a child of Satan, he's been possessed and controlled by numerous demons before they had been dead. Can you imagine being free from that? He's now a new creation, as 5:17 tells us, in Christ, for a new creation, the old is gone, the new is come. In his restoration, he's now feeling peace like he never felt before. He's got this, in his transformation, he's able to think clearly, have a spiritual understanding about his situation. He's not being controlled by these demons any longer. This is what Jesus wants to do in the lives of every human being on this planet. He's come to seek and save those who are in bondage to sin. Those who have been deceived by the world's lies about their existence and their purpose. Those who are broken. Those who are broken and lost all hope. Those who are tormented by Satan and the demons. Those who have tried to be good and are tired of failing. Those who have made so many wrong decisions that they don't think that God will accept them. Jesus came for you and me. He loves you. And he cares so deeply about you. Think about that for a moment. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. He loved you so much that he came and died on the cross. And he sacrificed his own life. Jesus came to give us eternal life, great restoration and lives, to transform us into his likeness. He came to empower us to overcome the enemy, to empower us to overcome temptation, to empower us to overcome sin, and even overcome death. He is here to fill your hearts with everlasting peace, to clear your mind by exposing you to his truth, to give you joy that cannot be explained, to give you certain hope that empowers you to face all the trials and all that the world throws at you, to give you a new purpose that has eternal meaning. All those who repent of their sin and believe in Jesus and who he is and what he did for you on the cross, all those who surrender their lives to him, now he's in control, you will be forgiven of all your sin. All of it. You will be given give eternal life, and God, the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell in you. Yeah, that's right. God gives you of himself. And he gives you a helper, a teacher, a counselor in the way of the Holy Spirit. He gives you power to overcome your old life full of chaos and turmoil. He gives you power to turn away from all the temptation and follow after him. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. How kind, how compassionate, how loving God is. God knows each one of us better than we know ourselves, better than anyone else. He created you. He knows how hard it is to live a life here on this world, on this planet. He knows all the temptations of Satan and of our flesh. And he gives us the power to overcome them and a way of escape with each of these temptations. God truly desires to restore what is broken in our lives and transform us into the people that he created us and give us abundant life. It is by his power that we overcome the enemy. Luke 10:19 says that God has given us power over all the power of the devil, all the power of Satan. In Christ, we have nothing to fear. In Christ, we are guarded and protected by God. In Christ, we don't have to be led by Satan's lies and deception anymore. In Christ, we have been given spiritual armor by God to stand strong in victory against all that the enemy brings us. Not only did Jesus restore and transform this man, he gave him a new purpose. So let's look at the plan and purpose Jesus gave his Father. Look there with me at verses 18 to 20. Verses 18 and 20. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed of demons begged that he might be released. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him and everyone among him. You ask for a moment, Jesus doesn't say that he's not willing. You see, it's often in his own cabin. No one wanted to hear him. No one believed, so he left. So he gets into the boat, he's getting ready to head back across the sea. This restored, transformed man comes to Jesus with a request. I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to be with you, Jesus. This is a desire that all of us should have. And so I want us to think about this for a moment. I want us to reflect on this. This heart, the heart of this man is going to deliver. Will that and our things to our own lives. You were unforgiven. There was a time. You were all unforgiven. You were separated from God by your sin. You were, as the Bible calls you, a child of wrath, awaiting God's judgment in the end. You were in a helpless, hopeless situation. Of course, you tried to be good, you performed some good deeds, but yet there was something missing. Your brokenness never went away. Yes, only temporarily, as you indulged in what the world gave you. You were deceived by Satan's lies, you were taken advantage of by Satan's agenda, only to bring about destruction in your life. That was your state. That used to be your state. It's the state of over 5 million people on the planet. But then, Jesus stepped into your life. He stepped into our lives as he did with this demon-possessed man. He came all the way across the sea into a Gentile area, that's a non-Jewish area, a non-Jewish man, to save this Gentile man. Jesus was giving those watching and the Jews a glimpse of what the future held for the whole world. He was revealing and saving this man that Jesus came to offer salvation to all people of every nation type people language for the whole world. He crossed the sea for this one man. What did he do in order to personally reach you? What did he do in order to personally reach you? How do you work in your life over and over trying to get your attention? How do you put people in your life to show you the love of Christ and share the good news about Jesus with you? Do you remember? Do you know? Do you know what Jesus did in order to get your attention? Do you know what Jesus did in order to come and intervene into your life and save you from the state that you were in? Can you imagine all that God did to bring about salvation in your life? And then you repented on your sin at that time and you believed in Jesus and you surrendered your life to Him and He brought about restoration in your life. Peace and purpose and joy, and He's been transforming your life ever since. So now, can you imagine what this man is thinking? Now that we've reflected on our past, and we reflected on what Jesus did in our lives, can you imagine what this man was thinking? Out of an overwhelmed gratefulness in his heart, he says, I want to be with my Savior. I want to spend time with Him. I want to learn from Him. I want to honor Him. I want to worship Him because He saved my life. Shouldn't that be our response? Have we so quickly forgotten where we came from? It's actually part of our new purpose in Christ to walk with Him daily, to endure fellowship with Him, to pray, to respond, to listen carefully to Him and His words, to meditate on what He's saying to us, to obey Him. It's part of our purpose in Christ. Christ gave His life so that we could enjoy this relationship with God. Do you want to be here with your Savior? Or do you just want to enjoy the blessings of Him? Do we truly want to be with our Savior, or do we only enjoy the blessings He gives you? But there's a second part of this man's new purpose. Look what he said to him. Look what he said to him. He said, go home. Go home. To your friends, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy. Think for a moment how this lines up with Jesus' first words. You remember what He said? See, this has been God's plan all along. Jesus told His disciples to have, follow me, and then I'm going to make you fishers of people. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. He's saying, come spend time with me. That's your first and foremost purpose. And then I'm going to equip and empower you. I'm going to help you reach others. Help others be reconciled to God. Help others learn about God's love and His good news of how He came to save them. Help them find true restoration from their brokenness. And we see this in the Great Commission that Jesus commanded us to follow. Right? Go. Preach to all creation. Go make disciples of all nations. Go and share the gospel. Give people an opportunity to respond to Jesus. This man became one of the earliest missionaries to the Gentiles. Jesus sent him back as a missionary to his hometown. You see, our witness starts at home. Where people know you. Where they get a first-hand look at the change God has brought into your life. I can remember working down at Cumberland Supply. 12 years I worked there. But I guess it was 6 years into that that I finally came to Christ. Or 7 years into that. And so the people around me could see that something was changing. Of course, it's not a good change. Something has changed. It wasn't easy for some to see that change. And it wasn't easy for me to see the impact of the change that God had made in my life and how that affected people around me. We need to go home to where we are, where we live, where people know what you used to be like and how you used to live, so they can see the difference in your life. Yeah, I remember what you used to be like. Something's happened. Something's changed. He's not doing that anymore. He's doing this. He says that this man, when he proclaimed this message, he gave witness about Jesus, and the people marveled. And who knows how God used this man to bring about, to bring others to Christ. We can't imagine. Here's a man who they saw, and think about what they saw. They saw him running around naked in the hills. They saw him cutting himself. They heard these demons speaking because they knew. They were probably very fearful. The crowds that bound in the chains and stuff, and breaking those chains. Like, this man was evil. And now he's gone. He's more than him. He's better than him. He's a new creation in Christ. And he's sharing about this hope of restoration. I've seen this happen. In more than one person, I saw even this man delivered. And you see Christ, his life is transformed. He goes back to the village where everybody knows what he was like and the things he was doing. And the people were amazed. You know what they said? This Jesus is really different. And he's more powerful than all the false gods that he's done. And he led men into Christ. That's what God can do in all of us. No man can be possessed. But we've been changed by God. We've been transformed by him. Two things there's several things we can obey from this story, but I'll just tell you about two things. Our purpose is to walk with God and to work with God. And in that we glorify him. It's really that simple. You get that? Our purpose is to walk with him and to work with him. And in that we glorify him. It's really that simple. Walk with him, work with him. First, surrender your plans and your will to God. First, surrender your plans and your will to God. Stop holding on to your interpretation and your terms for living a Christian life. That's in here. That's in God's word. Stop making everything else more important than Christ and just in time. Have a heart that this man had. Get to know him better, learn his word, know his promises, rest in him, communicate with him always, and you're going to have peace and joy and contentment and power like you've never had before. Secondly, in your work with God, I want you to ask that question, who's your one? Who has God placed around you who needs to hear about Jesus? Who has God placed around you who's seen the change in your life? Who is it that needs to see firsthand the love of Jesus? Who is it that needs to see the powerful impact that God has made in your life? That restoration, that transformation that he has brought about. The first step in this, in our purpose here, is prayer. That's the first thing. We begin to pray for him daily because we know it's a spiritual issue like it was for this man. We need Jesus to go across the sea, to go through wherever he needs to go through and get to these people so that their hearts will be open and their minds will be open and they will understand who Christ is. And so we pray for Satan and all of his evil agenda to be cast aside and for these people's minds to be clear so they can think and understand the gospel. So we pray and we pray and we pray. And then secondly, as we build a relationship, we listen to their story. How often do you take time to listen to someone else's story? How often have you heard someone who doesn't know Christ? How often have you sit and listened to their story and all the hardship and all the pain and all the things going on in life? And thirdly, we share our story. You share your story. Your story can make a powerful impact on people's lives. It's your story. No one can take that from you. It's pretty simple. Your life before you meet Jesus. How you used to live your life. All the things you used to do. And you don't have to share all that. But some of them. Then how you met Jesus. At some point now, you heard the gospel and then you surrendered your life. And that's the second part. That's the thing. That has to be done. Because that's where you come to Christ. You hear the gospel and you meet Christ. Third, the course your life like after. That's ever changing. He keeps doing and transforming you and just changing your life. So those are two parts, your life before Christ, how you came to know Christ, your life after. Those three things, very simple. You can share it in 1 minute, you can share it.
would say not more than 3 minutes because, you know, some people don't hear all of them. I want you to go home and I want you to like me. If we're going to be ready to share the gospel and to make disciples, that's what it's about. Pray, listen to their story, and we get prepared to share our story. And we practice it, and we practice it, and we learn it, and we light it out. So that you're ready to drop a hat to share your story. Because you know what that does? That doesn't save people. The gospel saves people. But that story introduces to people who Jesus is. It's a very practical thing. We all have a story. If you come to Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, you have a testimony. That's what we call a testimony. I call it your story. You have a story to tell. Just like this man who went back to his hometown, he had a story to tell. He said, man, I was upset. And I was running around, you couldn't see me. But in Christ, he came across the sea, he cast out those demons, and I believed in him. And now he's sitting back here in my life, totally changed. You all have a story on you. Your life before Christ, how you met Jesus and followed started following your life after. Very simple thing to do. Get time with Jesus. Walk with him. Get prepared with your story so you can work. As the worship team comes, allow God to have his way in you this morning. Allow him to restore and transform your life. Allow God to build your life around Christ and his word. Allow him to use you to reach others. Fulfill your purpose. You know what it is. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. Jesus said that. He said in these two commands, all of the law summed up. Love God. Love me. Let's spend some time with the Lord this morning. Think about his story. What the Lord did in you. And I pray that our heart would be like this man. Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to follow you.